relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Are you ready? Yes, we've got it. Charlie Kirk's exclusive interview with Kyle Rittenhouse. You can hear it here. You're not going to hear it anywhere else except on Charlie's show and here on the Salem Radio Network. But first, before we get to that, thank you to all of you who've done amazing things with the Prison Fellowship Program. All the children whose Christmases you've made a little bit brighter. Children who've lost a parent to the prison system. You are getting them Christmas gifts this season. It is so important. Why? Just listen to Dawn, who works with these children.
Personalize that. The little bit that you give, if we all give something, we are better together. If every single one right now, even if you are impacted in some stretch, the more that you give, the more you receive. I always say you can't outgive God. So you give without knowing where it's going to go. Just pay it forward and see the results, see the blessings that God will bring back into your life.
You can't outgive God. Pay it forward. What an amazing blessing. Over a million children will be without their mother or father this Christmas. Make a donation for just $25 to get one of those children a Christmas present from their incarcerated parent, a message of love and the gospel as well. Make a difference. Call the Prison Fellowship at 888-206-2794 or go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Angel Tree banner. $125 will change a Christmas for the better for five of these incredibly vulnerable children. Make a difference today. Be a Christmas Angel. That's 888-206-2794, sebgorka.com, and the very top, the Angel Tree banner. So here it is, Salem, Charlie Kirk's exclusive interview with the hero of Kenosha, Kyle Rittenhouse. The first part, he talks about why he was there, what his objectives were, his background, his life so far as a young man of helping other people, and of course, the turning points in the trial, how much it saved, how much it changed his life, and perhaps the darkest of all, the lies that were told about him, not just by the prosecutors, but also by the mainstream lying legacy media. Full kudos to Charlie Kirk, president of Turning Point USA, and my colleague here at the Salem Radio Network. This is the beginning of his interview with none other than Kyle Rittenhouse.
Kyle, from the first moment I saw, you know, you in the news and the video of you defending yourself, you know, I felt like we had something in common. We both grew up in the same neighborhood, you know, kind of a shared story. And you always just wanted to try to help people, right?
That is correct. While growing up, my mom was a single mother working as a CNA at a nursing home helping old people and inspired me to start helping people, wanting to go to nursing school, becoming a lifeguard, becoming a firefighter, EMT cadet, and a police explorer.
You grew up in Antioch?
I did. I grew up in Antioch, Illinois. I lived in Lakeville for a couple years. I actually moved around a lot, but the last place I was living was Antioch, Illinois.
Growing up, what did you want to be when you got older?
Growing up, I wanted to be a police officer to be able to help people and help people when they're having bad days, because cops see people on their worst days.
Jack?
So they made this whole, you know, big, like, deal during the trial in Binger, and I call him Lunchbox, his sidekick there, because he brought him along like a boxed lunch. They said, oh, well, you're not even from Kenosha, you know, you don't even live in Kenosha, you cross state lines, all this business. But it seemed to me when I was, you know, hearing you speak about it, and then when you took the stand, you talked more about it, that it seemed like Kenosha did mean something to you.
It did.
You had a lot of connections. So what does Kenosha mean to you?
Well, Kenosha, my best friend Dominic lives there. My My dad lives there. My entire family pretty much lives there. I go grocery shopping in Kenosha, and of course they have the best cheese curds in the world, as we all know.
Can confirm. Yeah, I've been there a couple of times since all this. I was there, I guess, 2 weeks after that happened. So I was there like mid-September of last year, and then I've gone back a few times just to see it. And it's actually a really nice town. Like, yeah, I really liked it. I enjoyed it. I went there with my brother. We had a great time.
Oh, yeah. It's down-to-earth people who is just people that are just like wanting to be. It's the Midwest. We call it Midwest friendly. We wave to people driving down the road.
Did you ever, I mean, obviously the answer is no, but talk to us what it was like, though, going from the mindset of I want to help people on that night. That's your intent.
And you've got this great place, this town, this great
yes,
town.
Yes, and you see the town starting to fall apart. And the next thing you know, your entire life gets put in jeopardy because you defend yourself and you have to be called a murderer, a white supremacist, all of this. Talk about how you dealt with that. How did you just, that's probably the most immediate reversal a human being could go through.
How I dealt with that was I would block out social media. I wouldn't go on my phone. I would just not pay attention to any of that and just focus on what's in front of me.
And so Dave, I want to bring you into the conversation. So Dave, you've kind of been in some ways like a mentor father figure to Kyle, and kind of been the family spokesperson, and you kind of got thrown into this entire thing. Talk about who Kyle is as a person, because this is not just a ordinary 18-year-old.
No, absolutely not. I first met Kyle on the 20th of November when I picked him up, and we spent about 3 hours driving down to the safe house. I really got to know him at that moment. He's a civic-hearted. He cares about people. He's empathetic. And he just really has a great head on his shoulders. I mean, he wants to do great things as he gets older. And I've just learned that he's not vitriolic. He's not this political kid. He basically loves everybody. So that's the Kyle that I got to know.
I mean, and it's amazing sitting here, Kyle, because you put anybody else through that situation. You put me through that situation when I was 18. And everything else that happened afterwards, I would have a huge attitude and a chip on my shoulder and everything else. But you seem like you're pretty, you know, pretty well adjusted and actually dealing with it quite well. You're positive, you're outgoing, you're friendly. What do you think it is that people get, you know, wrong about sort of, there's the image that they try to make of Kyle Rittenhouse, and then there's the real Kyle Rittenhouse. So what do they get wrong the most?
Well, what I would say is people want to push their own agendas and they don't want to look at the facts of what happened, or they just don't want to get to know me as a person or just as a human.
And so, but how do you stay magnanimous? I mean, you don't seem as if you're bitter. I mean, you spent 87 days in jail. Like, I would be pretty upset about that. Not to mention having to go in front of the state of Wisconsin and be like, oh yeah, by the way, if we are able to persuade 12 people, you're going to spend the rest of your life in a prison cell.
To be honest, it does make me upset. I'm just like, there's nothing, it's out of my control. And the only thing I can do is stay humble and look at the positive in life.
And you want to now build a life. Some people aren't allowing you to do that, right? They're saying that, you know, they want the Department of Justice probe or whatever to continue, you know, forward with this. You know, as you were going through this, let's talk just kind of about the specifics of it. You know, you're able to get out of jail, 87 days you were there, and then all of a sudden you have to start meeting with lawyers and your legal team and starting to mount a defense. And then the trial went underway. Talk about what that was like. You know, like, talk about the details and the specifics of, you have to go every single day and you're not allowed to say anything until you took the stand, which I want to ask you about. You know, how much were you sleeping at those nights? Like, how are you dealing with that? You're an innocent person. In some ways, the process was the punishment.
Yeah, like, we see you on screen, but what's it like behind the scenes and all that?
Well, how it is behind the scenes, I have my amazing team, Mark, Corey, Natalie, Joellen, LT, Dave, helping me through this and guiding me, because believe it or not, I'm freaking out behind the scenes because you don't know what's going to happen. So to have them to be to support me, helping me through this and explaining, helped me stay calm. And what I'm thinking when I'm just a blank face, potted plant in court, I'm just saying in my head, is this guy serious? Referring to Lunchbox and Binger, also known as Little Finger.
Yes.
And there's one thing that I noticed about him. He's very level-headed.
Totally.
Absolutely level-headed. So, yeah. Yeah.
Would explain how you were able to effectively defend yourself under imminent, you know, threat of death. I mean, it was calm, cool, and collected all the way through. So talk, at what point in the trial were you all of a sudden like, okay, this is now going in a good, like a direction that is somewhat favorable? Was there a turning point in the midst of the trial?
There's two, actually, for when I knew the state didn't have a case, is when they had their opening statements and when they put Dominic Black on the stand, which really helped me. That's when I knew that they didn't have a case.
So the opening statements you already knew?
Yeah, because he said, I chased down Mr. Rosenbaum, which is not true.
You get the truth here on Salem Radio. Congratulations to Charlie Kirk. So much more to come from his exclusive interview with Carl Rittenhouse. Relief Factor. Are you in daily pain? Have you tried everything else to no avail? If that's the case, you've got to try this amazing product that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain, me included, but not just me, people like Debron from Massachusetts. This is Debron's story. I just started taking Relief Factor 4 days ago. My hip pain is gone. I had a horrible time sleeping because of the pain. I absolutely love how I am feeling. Thank you, Relief Factor. That should be you. That could be you. Find out today. Order your 3-week quick starter pack at Relief Factor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you'll know whether it works for you like it works for me, Debron, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it today. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com. Welcome back to America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and our exclusive interview, my Salem colleague, Charlie Kirk, with none other than Kyle Rittenhouse and the lies they said about him. Stay here for the whole interview.
You know, the guys that I would work with, like Richie McGinnis and Elijah Schaefer, Drew Hernandez, Julio Rosas, they were all there, and then BG on the scene as well. And I'm watching these videos come out, and I'm looking at this situation going, hey, wait a minute, they're chasing this guy. But the media is saying it the other way, and that's not what happened. And I can see these videos, and you guys are lying about this. And then so you would have to think that, okay, if I'm an adversarial prosecutor, I'm going to bring witnesses forward that are going to, you know, help my theory of the case. And to your point, in his opening statement, that's what he says. He says they were chasing you, or excuse me, that you were chasing them. But then the very next thing he does is bring on a witness that supports your side of the case.
Exactly. And
all their witnesses.
Well, yes, actually, that turned out to be a trend that we saw throughout the rest of the trial. Every single one of them, they were the ones who called Richie. You guys didn't even have to call Richie.
Mm-mm. During his opening, when he said that, I was one of the things I was thinking, I was like, geez, I didn't know that he watched the videos backwards.
There was a meme of that where it was... Binger, and he goes, well, all you have to do is play the video in reverse, and you can clearly see Kyle chasing them.
<That's great>.
Which is basically, I mean, for the amount of hocus pocus, right,
that they did on these, out of focus.
Hocus pocus out of focus that they did on these videos, it almost got to the point where they had to play the videos backwards because you couldn't find anything else on these things. But you know, one thing with that, with these videos and just, you know, being able to support Free Kyle USA and all the other stuff, did you have a sense, you know, both during the trial and beforehand that, yes, obviously there was an entire mainstream media and political, really, establishment that was hell-bent on making you the scapegoat for everything that happened in Kenosha and really a lot of 2020, but did you also realize that there were millions of people that had your back, that were supporting you, going through these videos, donating. Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much to the people who do support me and have donated. It means a lot to me and my family, helping us pay for these legal bills. It just means so much to me, and we couldn't have done it without them. And it's just amazing. And with the whole people who didn't support me, I actually didn't know how much support I really had until I got bailed out. I didn't know how much of the world supported the right to self-defense.
So you wake up, and maybe the day before, or the day, you know, day before that, your defense counsel says, Kyle, you're going to take the stand. Talk about what went into that, because that's a big deal, Kyle.
Yep.
You waived your Fifth Amendment rights. Talk about that.
Well, so I met Mark in mid-September, about 3 weeks after the incident. And
your lawyer?
My lawyer. Yeah. And he is a straight-up guy. He is amazing. The first thing he told me was, look, you got to take the stand. And I said, I agree. I want to tell my story. And we, ever since I got bailed out, we were preparing.
So that was there from the start. That wasn't like a game time decision.
No, it was something we prepared for over a year. Corey, my other attorney, would help prepare me, and he would cross-examine me and help me tell my story. Not tell my story, but help not fall into the loopholes that Attorney Binger would have me try to fall.
That's right, because they mentioned you guys did a couple of mock trials.
Yep.
So in those, it was actually Corey playing, I guess, Binger, basically. Yay. Well, the bad guy, right. Real quick, who was better, Binger or Corey, at the prosecuting?
Corey is an amazing attorney and a way better prosecutor than that entire office of Kenosha.
I mean, some of the questions he's asking you, like, do hollow point rounds explode, right? No. did you play Call of Duty too much, Kyle?
Like, look, I play Call of Duty. I didn't lie. I play COD.
It's a video game.
So, but Kyle, walk us through this. So you wake up, and you know this is the day you're going to take the stand. And more than just the stand, you know this is a nationally publicized televised trial, right? What's going through your mind? That's like the biggest moment of your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I was like, whew, I was sweating. And as you guys seen, I was white as a ghost when I took the stand. I was like, I couldn't eat. And thank God I had the people around me who were able to talk to me and calm me down.
First time I saw him silent.
Beforehand?
In about a year.
But beforehand?
Yeah.
Did you have cold feet? Like, maybe I don't want to do this? Because, Kyle, to be honest, I'll tell you, you could go back to the Charlie Kirk Show archives. In our JV analysis, I thought it was a mistake. I was like, the trial's going so well. This is unusual. I remember you came on our show, and I asked you, and I said, I'm going to yield to the wisdom of the defense. But
people were worried. People were very
worried.
You
and I were texting, like, what is going on here?
Because it you know, it's one of those situations where it's a risk. You know, it's a gamble, right? It's such a gamble to see, can this guy, and fortunately for you, the guy was an idiot. That's
a nice term.
Yeah, it's coming. No, I mean, really, that there's so much. Look, I was at, you know, Guantanamo Bay for a year. You know, there's way more that he could have done that, you know, he didn't even try to, because he's talking about video games and doesn't even know the basics of ammunition. But, you know, what did you think? Yeah, just sort of even in your mind, right? Because as you get up there, Judge Schrader is saying, hey, you still have, it is still your decision, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed like he gave you all the space that you needed to be able to say, look, right up until this moment, it's my choice that I do this.
My reasoning behind taking the stand is I wanted the world to know who the real Kyle Rittenhouse was.
And obviously, you know, it was compelling to millions and millions of people, because the more you talked, the more people are like, this is a normal kid who, you know, got caught into something that you didn't even want to get caught into, and obviously defended yourself. And so you get up there, and then Binger starts to then go after your Fifth Amendment rights. Talk about that.
So I was on the stand, and Binger starts commenting on my post-arrest silence, and I was like, what the f***? I was like, what is, like, this is basic middle school constitution test stuff. I know this stuff. You don't comment on a defendant's post-arrest silence.
So yes, every TV show, movie, you know, you have the right to remain. It's the first thing they say.
It's the right against self-incrimination. So what's going through your mind at that point? I mean,
I'm like, did he really just go there? And I was astonished. I was in shock. I don't know about you, how you were when you heard that. I was like,
I was pretty verbal in the gallery. I was like, come on. Like, because it was just appalling.
And then the judge stepped up, who, by the way, the judge is being wrongly attacked as being on your side. He was on the side of the Constitution.
Exactly. Yeah, he is a Constitution.
Not your side. Definitely not Binger's side, because Binger is a crazy person.
Because, by the way, this judge is known for, if the jury comes back with a verdict of guilty, he's known for being a harsh, by-the-book sentencer.
So, yeah, so talk about this. So then the judge intervenes and issues one of the most harsh condemnation. What was going through your head at that point?
It took a lot to hold back. I wanted to break out in laughter because I was like, shouldn't have gone there.
Stay with us here on America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Charlie Kirk's exclusive interview with Carl Rittenhouse. All of you out there know that MyPillow doesn't have giant box stores or any shopping channels. They've been instead targeted by cancel culture, but now they want to pass on big savings directly to you. Get the lowest price in the history of MyPillow for their classic standard MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with my promo code. They also have queen-size pillows, regularly $79.98, now only $24.98 with promo code G-O-R-K-A, or king-size pillows, usually $89.98, now only $29.98 with my promo code. MyPillow is not just pillows. They have over 150 products, everything from sleepwear to actual beds. Promo code G-O-R-K-A also works at mystore.com and frankspeech.com. Call today, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code Gorka. Welcome back to Charlie Kirk's exclusive interview with Kyle Rittenhouse here on America First on the Salem Radio Network.
Do you think, though, Kyle, that the prosecution was trying to throw the trial or the case?
It's my belief, and I'm probably right now because we did win the case, that he knew it wasn't going so good for them, so he wanted a mistrial. That's why we filed a motion for a mistrial with prejudice.
I mean, they completely had it wrong. What the third set of facts they were on in the middle of trial? They just kept changing their fact patterns.
So were there, any points in the trial where you thought that Judge Schrader was going to make that ruling and would declare a mistrial? Were there any specific points where you think that it got to that sort of critical mass?
A lot of people's beliefs are different from mine, even on my team. I didn't think he was ever going to leave this out of the hands of the jury. I don't think he wanted to be that guy that took it out of the hands of the jury. So I didn't think he would grant that until the jury made a ruling.
It seemed to me in jury selection, and he gave that big speech about, you know, where juries come from, where the law comes from. It seems to me that he really did respect the jury tradition. And so I'm with you, basically. I had the same read on him that he really, you know, he would have if he had to, but unless it really crossed the line, he wanted this to be a jury decision. And, you know, it, obviously, thank God, it turned out to be the right
one. And Binger did everything he could. So let's just show 34 on the screen. So, Kyle, you're sitting there. It's closing arguments, right? You're like, what's the side? What's going on? You know, how's the jury trending? And then next thing you know, let's put cut 34 on the screen, guys. You have attorney Binger pick up an AR-15.
Oh my God, yeah.
And so, just decide you have better trigger posture than him, Kyle.
Kyle, what is he pointing at in the...
Is he threatening the jury?
Pretty much. He was pointing his gun at the gallery, and I looked at my attorney.
This is your gun, right?
That's my rifle.
Yeah, that is yours, right.
That we're having destroyed right now. We don't want anything to do with that.
Oh, wow.
So I looked at Corey and I said, Corey, that's gun safety 101. Loaded or unloaded. Treat a gun like it's loaded.
Yeah.
And he points it at the jury.
Exactly.
I think at that point I said, all right, they're freaking out. I mean, they got nothing left.
So there's this video that the FBI had in their archives 14 months. It clearly shows you being chased down by this deranged individual, corners you, all of it, HD. You know, this isn't, you know, behind the cars and this was always key that you know, people who are looking at this never got, is that all the camera footage from that night was surface level, right? Because it's handheld. Mm-hmm. So, and of course, Richie thinks he has his camera going, but he doesn't. And he's beating himself up over that, but, you know, it happens in the heat of the moment, that this thing is above, looking down, sees the whole thing. You can actually see the anger and just, you know, insanity in Rosenbaum's face as he's chasing you, that I don't think you show that face to anybody, that they would think that this guy,
let alone threatening to kill them twice that night.
Right, right, that he has anything other than, you know, very dangerous, evil intentions. And they sat on this thing for 14 months, didn't give it to you guys. The prosecution had it. Why didn't the FBI release this the next day?
That's the question.
That's the question. I'll let Dave explain the FOIA.
And not only that, yeah.
Milo's very upset with the FBI right now. Very upset.
They had a high definition version that they admitted they had, but destroyed. And they said that in the same sentence as admitting that they knew what they had that night. So, I mean, you got to wonder what was going on there. So we filed FOIA requests for that footage. And it was
for the HD footage.
For the HD footage, for any of the footage. And they said no records. And then his attorneys filed the appeals and no records. And they still haven't met their duties as a federal agency under FOIA, still to this day. So.
Now, Kyle, you had your cell phone on you that night, right?
I did.
So my take on this is most likely the reason that they didn't want this getting out is they probably had these types of surveillance flights going on over all the riots of 2020. And they probably had an optics package and a signals package on there where they were able to track all the cell phones of everyone in that. So it's not necessarily that they were like looking at you, but they were probably tracking every single thing that we went on.
So help me understand this, though. The FBI had potentially exculpatory information that was given to the prosecution, and that footage has been deleted or missing. I'm not quite understanding that whole part of it.
So they had the standard definition, which gets fed to the ground. And then they had the high definition, which gets taken on the aircraft itself. They admitted on the stand that the standard definition that went to the ground, that's what was turned over to the prosecution long after the incident itself. The high definition version on the aircraft itself, they claimed was destroyed. And that is the one that you can zoom into and you can see every single thing that happened on the ground.
We're not finished yet. More from Kyle and Charlie here on America First on the Salem Radio Network. You've heard a lot about Kyle Rittenhouse and his lawyers and what Lynn Wood did to him. Find out the gruesome details. We continue our exclusive interview, thanks to Charlie Kirk, my Salem colleague here on America First. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, stay on this channel.
So when I got arrested, John Pierce and Lynn Wood started raising funds without my family's permission. And then they went on to fight an extradition fight using a novel argument saying I was in a militia. John Pierce can get paid, Wood can get paid, and grow his business and profit, apparently. And while doing that, I said, I don't want to fight extradition. I did nothing wrong. I want to go litigate this in Wisconsin because I didn't do a single thing wrong. They didn't respect my beliefs, and they kept on doing that. And then finally, we lose that extradition battle. I get shipped off to Wisconsin. John Pierce had no idea until I called him that I was in Wisconsin.
That's your lawyer?
That is my lawyer.
That's the one who just sat in court
and argued some sort of bizarre 1780s argument.
That he's in an unorganized militia. And he lost.
And you're not in an organized militia, right?
Look, I don't even know what a militia was.
Good answer. Yeah.
And then Lynn Wood is going on with all this, like, QAnon stuff, Q Lynn. And he's just off his rails, completely insane. He needs to get on meds or something.
And he's trying to claw back money raised for him. So if I could put some more color on this when you're
explain
ready.
Explain this to the audience. Because
I honestly don't even know what the status of the money is.
Well, and we'll get to that. Yeah. But I want you to walk through all this. Because you're a young boy, literally a boy by the law, in jail. And your lawyers don't even know what state you're in.
No, it's ridiculous. So I'm in Wisconsin, and I have to stay there an extra 20 days because Lynn Wood and John Pierce have to scramble to raise money. When they had it, they had enough prior, but they wasted it on extradition instead of looking out for my best interest. And then November 20th, I finally get bailed out, and Lynn Wood and John Pierce like to think they're the heroes in this case. They're just a bunch of fraud men.
So when this happened on the 25th, I was actually with Lynn Wood. I don't like to admit that. But so they started to bring money into the Fight Back Foundation, semi-informally. There was about two or three other fundraising entities. One was the Give, Send, Go fundraiser, which raised $585,000.
Where did that money go?
Wendy approved that money to be sent to Fight Back, thinking that they would be good stewards. By September 8th, Fight Back knew that there was a $2 million bail. The second he got extradited, that bail would have been set. They knew. Lynn said, the focus needs to be on fighting extradition. By this time, they had raised $1.2 million, right? They could have raised that next eight. They were a hindrance. Once they got involved, they kept him in jail. And let's say for safety, but because John was charging $1,275 an hour, so he was looking for financial capital.
I don't want to blow past that. They said we want to keep him in jail for his safety. What do they mean by that?
They seem to believe this was their argument on the outside. Now it's their argument. We wanted him to stay safe, right? Because Lynn was getting tons of political capital, right? Because now you start talking about the election coming up, and he was just, all he cared about, and I saw him, and all he cared about was his Twitter followers skyrocketing, right? And John was billing at $12.75 an hour, so it was in his best financial interest. So they kept him in jail.
The guy that's in $70 million debt.
Yeah. So your lawyers were profiting off of your suffering.
That is correct.
And they like to say that it was for his safety. They could have, and they knew on the 8th, they could have raised that to, they spent $800,000 to $1 million fighting extradition and lost in 30 seconds.
And what I find extremely disturbing is how Lynn Wood is out here saying I'm being handled like I'm a dog. He doesn't realize how insulting that is to me. I'm a grown, well, I'm 18.
You've been through plenty. You're a grown man.
Yeah, I make my own decisions. It really ticks me off. I have this insane lunatic saying I'm being handled and that I'm like
a deep state.
Yeah, deep state. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this person?
CIA, deep state, all this wazzy.
Because I know
crap.
Lynn, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't Lynn also represent Nick Sandman?
Until he was fired by Nick.
Briefly.
And so he was fired as well.
Kyle, you are in the most vulnerable position a human being can be in. I mean, not most, but it's there, right? It's top five.
And then to have these attorneys come in and try to take advantage.
Yeah, so then you have these vultures come in while you're in jail without running water. Is that correct? The sheriff says that's not true, but I believe you.
Look, I didn't have running water. Okay. I didn't tell anybody about it because I'm not a complainer. Maybe I should have said something, but I didn't have running water.
You're never going to be in that situation again. You should have said something. That's a different topic.
That's the headline for this, by the way.
Kyle Rittenhouse,
I'm not a complainer.
Days. What? They had to re-raise
that
money.
And so then they had to re-raise the money while you're suffering in jail.
And what's just to jump ahead, what's really disturbing is that this idiot cannot provide an accounting when me or my mom asked for him. And when he does, it's on like a Google spreadsheet. Yeah. Correct.
He denied for over a year to have an independent third-party audit conducted of Fight Back Foundation, which was requested by Wendy on multiple occasions. He didn't even provide an accounting, like what was brought in and what was spent until last month, and it's completely inaccurate. So he absolutely, and he would not link to freecowusa.org, which is Wendy's fundraiser to raise money for him. Now, you got to remember, Wendy started that fundraiser, she had $0.
We had to re-raise
$0.
I want also the audience to know the financial status of the Rittenhouse family. You dropped out of school to support your mom, is that correct?
I did. I was working three jobs. I was working at the YMCA Recplex, and I was doing some landscaping gigs off the side.
Wow, what a great kid. Well, he's a man now. That's Kyle Rittenhouse. More of the exclusive interview with Charlie Kirk in a moment. It is all too easy today with the current news cycle to lose faith in the nation and the system within which we live. But the Kyle Rittenhouse case can renew us. Why? Because of the brave behavior of that jury of 12 men and women who did justice in that case. Here is our last segment from Charlie Kirk's exclusive interview with Kyle Rittenhouse, where they talk about the brave men that refused to be intimidated and saw that justice was done.
The fear that we had, Kyle, is that there was this fear of jury intimidation, which we have some tape to play on.
I think it's MSNBC.
That's right. Not a fan.
Neither am I.
Good. We have that in common. And we have the cut here. We get cut 29 queued up of the judge announcing that MSNBC is banned from the courtroom. Now, for following jurors, and that's where Jack and I were interfacing, like, wait a second, this is now heading into really dangerous territory, that a young man's life might be put in jeopardy if one of these juries feels even slightly intimidated. Let's play cut 29.
A person who identified himself as James G. Morrison and who claimed that he was a producer with NBC News. The police, when they stopped him because he was following in a distance of about a block and went through a red light, pulled him over and inquired of him what was going on, and he gave that information and stated that he had been instructed by Ms. Bion in New York to follow the jury bus. He's not here today from what I'm told, and I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building for the duration of this trial.
And so there was this fear that, is the jury going to be intimidated?
That, when I heard about that, I was like, I've like put my head down. We went into the judge chambers. I'm like, I said, why can't people just do honest journalism these days?
Yes.
It's just so unprofessional for the person who did that to do that. It's like, who in their right mind would do that?
What was your impression of, I guess, the media before all of this started and then now?
Well, I don't watch the news. I never have.
That's why you're so happy.
Yeah, right? I don't pay. Yeah, sounds bad. I don't pay attention to what's going on in the world before this and right now. I focus on myself and I focus on work.
Just to follow up on that real quick. So, but you had a sense of, you know, there's this media out there. They report things. You know, did you have, you know, just kind of glance at a headline and then
our best friend Twitter,
you know, glance at Twitter and then move on to the next thing, right? So how do you feel about him now?
I think a lot of people are trying to save their assets right now, what it seems like. You see a lot of different headlines come out.
Well, there you have it. Congratulations to Charlie Kirk, and God bless Kyle Rittenhouse. All that is left for me to say, and I think it fits perfectly with the subject of the interview, is keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.